Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
I love the series that we are in at the moment, and even this whole year we've been focusing on as a church being a Jesus follower. And it's great just to get back to basics, isn't it? Sometimes we just need to, okay, let's just get back to what matters most. Keep the main thing the main thing. And being a follower of Jesus, one of the foundational, fundamental aspects of that is obedience to God. Last week, Pastor Luke talked about the different love languages. If you were here, I encourage you to get the message online if you weren't here in the room. By the way, welcome to everybody that is watching online this morning. Great to be connecting. But he talked about the different love languages that we have to with somebody that you love, and the importance of knowing them so you can understand each other because you love them, and because you love them, you want to understand and do what is best for the other person. And it's no different with God and our relationship with God. Understanding his love language and then working with him and in a relationship in somebody that we love, we want to do, not have to do. And one of God's love languages is obedience. Obedience is one of the foundations and fundamental aspects of being a Jesus follower, also of loving God and our relationship and how we interact with him. You know, I know and I understand in the room today, or for many maybe online, I've had in my past the same thing. Your concept of perception of obedience may not be that healthy because of a bad relationship that you've been in, or maybe a way that you were parented or whatever, just a bad experience. Or maybe just your worldview has been overshadowed and your thinking of what the word obedience means could be completely different to what God intended it to be. There are so many opinions flying around today. We just need to get back to God's word and what God says, not what others say. Anybody with me on that? And just anchor ourselves in God and his word. Obedience to God is a benefit to us. And to be a beneficiary is a person who derives advantage from something and a recipient of. And that would be us. Pastor Luke talked about last week how when we place our lives under the lordship of Christ, that we have full access to who he is and all that is available to us through relationship with him. That's what obedience is. It's an empowerment, not a disempowerment, which some people may think of it that way because of a past experience. But the opposite, obviously, to obedience is disobedience, which is our self-will. We all have that. And it's just that natural war that goes on within us to do our will as opposed to God's will. And it's been there from a child. Anyone with children in the room will identify, or any adult in the room can identify from your own life. Oftentimes the will to do what is for your best as opposed to what seems good to you doesn't always add up or isn't always that easy to do. You might hear a no, but doing is another thing. Now, I remember as our children were being raised and young, and especially, you know, people talk about a certain age with children get to and call it the terrible twos or whatever, but it's just a toddler learning their boundaries and learning what does the parent actually mean what they say when they say, don't touch that, don't do that. And we say it for their own benefit so they don't hurt themselves. They don't put their hand on a fire and get burnt. They don't go near something that is sharp that might help them or whatever it is. And in every scenario, I'm hoping I wasn't the only one with children like this, and I'm not going to mention any names to the one that was the most defiant in our family, but they are on the front row and they do have the name Luke, so. But I remember just them or him touching something and go, okay, what do you got? Do you really mean that, Mum? Because they're learning those boundaries. But as a parent, it's never to stop them doing something because you want to be a tyrant or a ruler over them. It's for their own good, so they don't get harmed. The point is, teaching them obedience was for their own good and a bit of keeping the parents sane, any parents out there, but also for them to understand the value of obedience. There is value in obedience for everyone's sake, not just the person's sake. You know, I think about Adam and Eve and their disobedience, it affected generations. And if we don't learn obedience and train and be trained in the ways of God, it will affect generations because we produce after ourselves. And I just remember as a parent thinking time after time after time of don't touch and the touch and don't do and the do, thinking, will they ever get this? Are they ever gonna understand? I think if we inclined our ear to heaven this morning, we'd hear God saying the same thing about us. Are they ever gonna get this? This is for their own good that they do what I ask them to do. It is always in God's economy for our benefit, always for our well-being, because He knows better. But sometimes we forget that and want to do our own thing. Ecclesiastes 12:13 in the Amplified said, "When all has been heard, the end of the matter is, fear God, worship Him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that He is Almighty God, and keep His commandments. For this applies to every person." In other words, He's God and we're not. And He knows better. How many know that knowing something in life and actually doing it are two different things? We can know something but still have the war going on within us to want to do opposite to what we know is best. D.L. Moody said, "If people were true to the first commandment, obedience to the remaining nine would follow naturally." As simple as that sounds, because of our humanity that God understands, we need to learn obedience because we're not just born with it. It is something that is ongoing and will be ongoing till the day we get to eternity. We can genuinely love God, but still disobey Him. The Apostle Paul knew what this was all about, and it's an encouragement to us and also for us to learn from. In Romans 7, 14 to 16, it's from the Message. "I can anticipate the response that is coming," Paul said. "I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary." Well put, Paul. And it's interesting to note that was written in 57 AD. The same common denominator that was back there for Paul is with us in this 21st century today, and it's called self-will. We all have it. And I just want to talk today about some of the benefits of God obedience. Not man's telling us or whatever, but God obedience. When God has our yes, Pastor Luke talked about the yes last week, He can trust us with more. That is a benefit of God obedience, more entrustment. And obedience is connected to trust and respect. It comes from a Latin word meaning to hear. When we obey God, it's a sign that we really are listening to Him, number one, and then that we will do and believe that He knows best, firstly, and that we'll do what He's asking us to do. Therefore, we will be put to the test. Many times I've been put to the test where it's counter to what I feel How many know we don't go on our feelings when it comes to obedience? We don't always feel like forgiving someone. But that doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do or the God thing to do. Jesus modeled that obedience to us with the Father. In John 5:19, he said that he only does what the Father tells him to do. And for him to only do what the Father told him to do, it meant that he had to get away from the crowd and listen to what the Father's heart was. Something that in this fast-paced world I don't think do half enough of what we should. But Jesus had a listening ear that brought an inner conviction, and it resulted in a willing response. And it was out of relationship, not out of a dictatorial do this, do that, but out of a heart relationship with his Father. But he was willing to surrender because the Father had his ear. There's a story of a missionary translator that was trying to find a word for obedience to be translated when he was trying to translate the New Testament in this native language. He said it was a virtue seldom practiced among the people in whose language he wanted to translate. One day he walked home from the village where he was spending time with the natives, and he whistled to his dog, and the dog came running full speed toward the man. And there was an old native that was watching, seeing this, said, admiring in a native tongue, "Your dog is all ear." And immediately the missionary knew he had his word for obedience. If we were to ask the question, and I ask it of myself this morning, does God have our all ear? Can he entrust us with more? Good question. Again, we talked not long ago, Pastor Luke brought a message on the Sabbath and the importance of stopping long enough, resting, but also stopping long enough from doing our own life, our own work, even if it's for God, to listen to the still, small voice. And all the working out of what and doing of what we already know that's in the Word. To linger long enough and meditate and marinate on it till it becomes part of who we are. And that inner conviction that we get that will lead us to do what God is asking, rather than just doing our own thing, because that's what we'll do. If we don't stop long enough, if we don't marinate, if we don't rest in God, we'll just keep going on busily doing maybe good things, but not necessarily God things. A.W. Tozer, which is why it's so important just to stop and pray with God. Spend time communicating with God. He says, the hard work of prayer is getting yourself into a state of mind in which you prefer the will of God over your own. That's so true. We have to stop to be able to do that. We need to be intentional to turn down the volume of noise in our life, to take time to listen. And then, after the listening, to trust that God knows best. Abraham had known what it was to obey God. He knew what it was to walk with God and trust him along his journey. In Romans 4:13, the promise came to Abraham that his future, about the future generations of what God would do. It didn't come through just an observation of the law or reading of the law. It came through relationship that developed faith in God and then obedience to do what God said. Abraham trusted God, and then God entrusted more to Abraham. Obedience is always equated to multiplication, not taking away. We can think if we give that, then it's going to be taking something from us. God's intention is never to do that. It's always to add to us. In Genesis 4, God spoke to Abraham to leave what he knew, to leave his family and go to a land that God would show him. He didn't say, I'm going to give you all the details This is going to happen. That's going to happen. You're going to meet that person. That person's going to do this and that and the other thing. He just said, go and I'll show you. And Abraham said, yes, and went. And as a result, multiplication was waiting behind his yes. So firstly, it releases greater entrustment. And then secondly, God obedience brings inner peace. Such a big thing to be able to live in inner peace. Many people are looking for peace all over on the outside, looking for things to add to their life to bring a peace. But only God can bring, and God obedience, that inner peace that will help us just be settled and know that we're in God's will. Psalm 119:44-45 says, I will keep your law continually forever and ever, writing your precepts on my heart, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek and deeply long for your precepts. When we are walking in obedience, we have that deep sense of inner peace. When you know, you're not got it all right, but you're walking in step to the best of your ability of what God wants for your life. Knowing that God alignment within. That's the most important alignment that we can have in our life. God alignment. Because anything else will just have you grabbing here, there, and everywhere. But that agreement and allegiance together with God will give you that inner peace. You know, when you obey the traffic laws, not looking in any direction either with this, you don't need to keep looking over your shoulder for the police. You can drive peacefully to your destination. Unless, of course, you're in the car with Pastor Paul and I over this past 2 years. Apparently, after 48 years of having my license, who knew, I still need driving lessons. And this next quote is not directed at you, darling, but A.W. Tozer said, why many people are still troubled, they are still trying to give orders, interfering with God's work within. But there is a deep sense of inner torment of spirit when we are not in alignment with God. And that's the place that the enemy would love us to be. That place where you know you are not being obedient to the voice of God, that he doesn't have your ear. And the enemy will then take that place and have our ear. And he'll torment and accuse and judge and bring unrest to our spirit, trying to bring, which is his aim, always separation and the blessing that comes with the unity and obedience with God. The enemy wants to separate us from that. There are many times along my journey where I've had to learn and grow and be in step with listening to that still small voice, like Holy Spirit nudge, where it may look like this, Marie, you need to forgive. God's heart is to not hold unforgiveness towards anybody. So then that has to become my heart. Marie, you need to forgive. Marie, you need to be the bigger person. Earlier years, it was the voice of my husband, disguised as the Holy Spirit, where I had a lot to learn with interacting with people and not being offended by people. When you put yourself in a leadership position, people say all sorts of things and come to all sorts of conclusions that may not be true. But I was the one that needed to be the bigger person, the bigger leader in that situation. And you know, many times just with relational situations, I've got to listen to that still small voice. Marie, be the bigger person. Marie, you need to love, even when you don't feel like, and sometimes this has happened to me as well, I'm no different to anyone else, when you don't feel like that person deserves it, but our feelings don't have anything to do with this. This is God's heart and obeying what God's heart would do. Marie, you need to bless that person. Marie, you need to give beyond yourself. And the list goes on and on and on. But listening to and yielding to are two very different things. But when we do obey, it brings not only peace to our own heart, but it's a benefit to the receiver as well, because it's God's heart. We are responsible for obeying God, and God is responsible for the consequences of our obedience. When I've had situations where I've had to forgive somebody, it's not dependent on how they respond back to me. That's God's job, to work in their heart. My job is to work on my heart and obey and forgive. So God obedience releases more greater entrustment, inner peace, and then lastly, it opens the doorway to supernatural intervention. When I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, she believed God, she obeyed him, and she received. And her obedience not only brought supernatural intervention to her life, but it flowed on to generations. Obedience in our life will flow on to generations, as will disobedience. When God said to Abraham, in your seed, Abraham, in your yes, Abraham, the promise was nations would be blessed. But it's in your seed, in your yes, in your obedience, nations will be blessed. There is a cost to obedience, and it's called trust. And it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. I read a little story about a new licensed pilot who was coming in for descent. And it was very cloudy. And he got a little bit nervous coming down. Who wouldn't? You can't see anything. But he heard a stern voice come over the radio. And they said to him, obey instructions, we will take care of obstructions. And I love that story, because I think sometimes we just need to obey and let God do the rest. Obey instructions, take care of obstructions. So full surrender brings full access to the supernatural protection, presence, power, and provision of God. And the team are going to come and join me. And in a moment, I'd like to just take some time for, I think it's always good to do a self-alignment in my own life, in all our life, in the business of doing our work, to just reflect and say, how are we going with that, God? But General William Booth was asked to reveal the secret of his success. And it goes on to say that after a great long pause, tears rolling down his face, he said, God has had all there was of me. And that's the secret, he said. God has had all there was of me. Can that be said of us today? Anybody watching online today, has God got all there is of you? Because that's what obedience is. You know, it's so sad. I have so many, a close family that are living what I would call a very limited quality life. And they're not prepared to let go of what they don't even have. That's what I don't understand. It's like, if only you knew what was on the other side of your yes to God, you could have so much. And here they are later in life, all older than me. And I just think, God, if I didn't give my yes to you, that would have been where I ended up. And I'm not saying that I'm better. I'm just saying I had the privilege of, as an 18-year-old girl, being presented a better way, God's way, and saying, yes, I want that for my life. And God has done so, so much. And unfortunately, the harsh reality is there are consequences of choosing to live in the limitations of the enemy. So my heart and my prayer today, if you're not happy where you are, maybe you're in the room or online today and you're not happy where your life is. It could be because of what has happened to you, what has been brought to you, or what you have brought to life with your own choices. And you might not see a way out today. But the good news for both of us, you and I, have God's supernatural intervention waiting on the other side of our yes. You know, Jesus's yes cost him everything for our salvation. But as a result, our yes, we get everything back. Everything that the enemy has tried to destroy in our life, God will restore back to us. And we're just going to take a moment as the team leads us, going to sing that song again. I will make room for you. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit, as we make room in this quiet moment, to speak to our hearts. Say, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to align?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.